Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Fulton Systems is North America's leader in terms of thermocompressor and steam systems installations. Our references in the paper industry includes over 80 years of support, thousands of operating thermocompressors, and hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Additionally, we provide dryer section performance audits, steam and condensate system design, and consulting services. Give us a call at 770-447-1400 or visit our website at www.fultonsystems.com.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 4th of November, 2013. The title is Coal Concerns. If you have not been following closely, it is apparent upon examination that the current U.S. administration is solidly focused on shutting down coal-powered boilers used for any purpose. Your mill likely does not have a coal-fired boiler, but if it does, it is in the crosshairs of the EPA. Yet, even if your mill does not have a coal-fired boiler, it is likely your mill's electrical supply has at least some portion supplied by coal-fired generating capabilities. 10 years or more ago, this would have been disastrous. However, today, with methods to economically extract natural gas nearly everywhere, it does not have to be such a large problem. Natural gas transmission lines are being rapidly built in places such as the state of Maine for economic reasons, if nothing else. I want to direct my comments, however, to those of you owning and operating coal-fired boilers today. Such mills are often on navigable waterways or very near to the same, and in most cases, coal-fired boilers in our industry are fairly old. The issue boils down to, no pun intended, rebuild or renovation decisions. I will suggest that normal capital amortization rules do not apply. I will be so bold as to say you really don't want to invest in a coal boiler any more than necessary to extend its life to about 2020. Why that date? No particular reason. Choose 2019 or 2022 if you prefer. The point is, you are not going to be operating a coal boiler much longer. This is one of those areas where the government has seeded the concept, but public perceptions will take over. Already, papermakers in the graphics arts area tout buying windmill and solar electricity. Why? Because the designers that specify their papers are very green in their outlook. Part of their selection process is related to this. It can't be long until the vibrant areas of the pulp and paper industry reach the same sensitivity. These two areas, packaging and tissue, are beating their respective competitors over the head to tout their recycled fiber. When that game is played out and the differences in their fiber green footprints are nil, energy will be the next game. Public perception may actually move forward faster than government mandates. So, pretty simple point this week. You need a different perspective when looking at coal-fired boiler maintenance. For our quiz this week, we'll ask you if you've already considered this. You may take it here and on the website. For safety this week, we know all boilers require safety respect. What we sometimes forget is that all high-pressured steam lines do too. What is your maintenance routine to make sure these items are working safely and properly? Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
RMR Mechanical is a merit shop contractor whose principals have over 100 years combined experience. Licensed in 19 states, RMR Mechanical works with process industries and utilities with special expertise in boiler maintenance and repair. Simply put, RMR Mechanical provides the best value to ensure your money is effectively spent. We perform as planned. For more information, call 770-205-9646 or visit www.rmrmechanical.com. We look forward to helping you succeed.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 11th of November, 2013. The title is Clear Communications. I have just returned from annual training with the Georgia State Defense Force. We specialize in search and rescue. This year's annual training was a simulated downed airplane crime scene. My job is RTO, that means radio transmission operator. I sit in the TOC, or Tactical Operations Center, and operate two radio networks. The first is with our own troops and our battalion who are out in the field. The second is upward to the brigade level. So I sit in a chair with two shortwave radios. There are at least three squads in the field, all on the same frequency. There are at least three battalions in the field, all on the brigade frequency. Also in the talk, there are always several officers jumping in with their own opinion of how to react to whatever traffic is coming over the networks. We use a strict way of talking, minimizing the words needed to say what needs to be transmitted. Often, all sources are talking to me at once, all of which must be logged. Sometimes I am talking to one source while another is trying to talk to me, and one or more officers in the background are barking in my ears. On a day like this recent exercise, I sit in the chair from 8 o'clock in the morning to 1800 hours with only short breaks, and then move to a handheld radio if brigade wants to keep the net open later in the evening. It is great fun, and I enjoy it tremendously. As you can imagine, there are many opportunities for errors. The trick is to be professional, use pro words, these are pre-assigned words that mean specific phrases, and stay organized. Once you become disorganized, you are in a hurricane of confusion from which it may take several hours to recover as new information continues to pile up and you continue to roll it forward. It is life or death. Three of the, quote, victims that we recovered correctly and delivered to designated pickup points were never recovered by the medical units assigned to do so and thus expired. We successfully transmitted the necessary information to brigade in time to save them, but as they passed it to other nets, something happened and they were not recovered from us in time. All of this is, for me, an intense exercise in communications. Throw out the radios, the idea of simulated exercise, and slow things down a bit, and we have what we see in pulp and paper mills every day. And honestly, the slower communications within our daily organizations can become just as confused as what we experience in our annual training. And very costly. Issue one is we do not transmit our intent. Whether we are not clear, have some ulterior motive, that is, we might be reluctant to transmit the message we should to a subordinate or superior, or our messages become cluttered in the noise of the day, we often ultimately fail at transmission. The necessary information to perform the task or do the job is not conveyed. Issue two is we do not listen. Sometimes this is because we don't know what we should be hearing. Either our prejudices, training, or preconceived ideas have conditioned us to hear only certain things. Sometimes we are distracted, mentally or audibly, and fail to receive the message. The confusion that reigns is just as destructive as what we might experience in annual training. It just takes longer for it to unfold. The lesson from all of this is the one I bring back from the field each exercise. We must communicate clearly and effectively, good news or bad, to our subordinates and our superiors. We must listen clearly and focus to matters told to us, and we must practice this all the time. For our quiz this week, we'll ask you what you do to practice your talking and listening skills. You can take it with the column online. For safety this week, we know that unclear communications during a safety incident can be definitely a life or death issue. Practice how you will communicate during an emergency. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Papari Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you know that in a typical U.S. pulp mill, it is possible to reduce your makeup chemical consumption by up to 5% and your fuel and steam cost up to 6% with minimal investment cost? For more information, give Conmark Systems Incorporated a call today at 770-300-0224. That's 770-300-0224, or visit their website at www.conmark.com.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 18th of November, 2013. The title is Beware of Teams. I am not talking about teams with assigned roles, such as basketball, football, or paper machine production teams. I'm talking about ad hoc teams put together to accomplish a specific task. You were first introduced to these in school. and they work there pretty much like they do in the work setting. You know, some egomaniacal person grabs a leadership role and starts barking orders. Makes no difference whether they are competent or not. And then the hangers-on join, that is, if they think the team has a chance of succeeding, then they can take some of the credit. Finally, the competent and conscientious are drafted to do the work. Again, it makes no difference whether this is in school, a volunteer organization, or work. It makes no difference if the participants are 12 or 82. It always plays out the same way. Except at work, it should not. The person who can make sure it does not is the manager mandating the formation of the team. Start with an extremely careful selection of the leader. Find someone with leadership skills who, in addition, is competent in the subject to be tackled. Approve each and every member of the team. Finally, and I suggest weekly, have each and every member of the team write you, and you alone, the equivalent of a one-page bullet point list of issues and perceptions each week, bypassing the leader. A team without without individual time-honored roles is a dynamic, dysfunctional collection of every human foible. Actually, it's DSM-5 on steroids. It will not work properly or achieve any worthwhile objective if it is not closely monitored. Personally, I suggest daily meetings/conference calls until a task is complete and the team disbanded. If your retort is that is too often, I'll counter with then you probably have a task that does not need a team. The dynamics are this. An ad hoc team is a diversion from the routine day in and day out work people are required to do. Many will view it as a vacation while at work and excuse to not do their normal work, as in, sorry boss, can't do the weekly inventory of finished goods, I am on the new Framascram team. You know how important that is. The power hungry will see it as a way to bring their propensity towards spousal abuse to work as the leader. The whole ad hoc team thing is a mess, and we repeat these poor decisions regarding ad hoc teams over and over and over again. Your humble correspondent is as guilty as anyone by creating these things. Now, what happens if you are someone known to actually work and you are drafted to be on one of these teams? Beg off. Tell your boss you don't have the time. Really lean on your boss to help you stay as far away as possible. All you can possibly achieve is a loss of your weekends, for the time you are approached, the anticipated glorious rewards for success have already been pre-apportioned. There is nothing in this for you. They're just looking for someone to do the work. So what is your story? Tell about your ad hoc team experiences on the website this week in our quiz. For safety this week, what happens to ad hoc teams out in the rest of the company is also what happens to, or can happen, to safety teams. It is your moral and ethical duty to make sure it does not, because lives and livelihoods are at stake. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Papari Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Mike Ryan of Process Labs knows rotary kilns and recosticizing. Located in Chillicothe, Ohio, USA, Process Labs has decades of experience and their services are in demand around the world. You can find them online at www.processlaboratories.com or call them at 1-740-775-5520. That's 1-740-775-5520.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 25th of November, 2013. A fiduciary crime. This is a problem I've been meaning to write about for a long time, and for some reason I'm just now getting to it. Let me set the scene. An existing company has planned for years to either A, rebuild a paper mill, or B, build a new paper mill. An individual, through reputation or other circumstances, rises up as a leader of the project. This is a forceful person, one who has strong ideas about what should be done. As the process unfolds, they exert their will. Designs are promulgated, equipment is bought, and construction is accomplished. It doesn't work, or at least it doesn't work as promised, or there are efficiency flaws that are not easily corrected. Sooner or later, the strong leader is fired, that would be sooner, or retires, that would be later. Yet the mistakes they inflicted on the mill last in perpetuity. The worst case I ever saw of this was on Vancouver Island, British Columbia. a paper machine there and its subsequent rebuilds, when you looked at the chronology of the events, was always the last model. We talk about no one ever wanting to be serial number one. Looking at the history of this machine, trust me, you never want to be serial number last either. Another case, and I was an employee in this case, a machine was rebuilt and the architect of the rebuild was fired 90 days after the startup. That machine still suffers to this day from decisions this, quote, temporary employee with 25 years history with the company made. This can happen with an entire company too. There was a company that was acquired by the largest paper company in the world in the late 1990s. As I visited and tried to help save various mills discarded after this transaction, it was obvious there was no cohesive plan to learn from previous designs. The largest paper company in the world announced a few months ago that it was going to shut down one of the mills it acquired in this now 15-year-old transaction. Many were surprised. I was not. I know four companies that have done a great job of learning from their previous design experiences. Two of them are current clients and one is a prospect, so I'll not mention their names. The fourth was an early employer of mine, Procter & Gamble. They collected the data on everything about every aspect of layout, specification, and design, memorialized it in standards, and started every project from there. They may have had marketing failures, but they never had an operational failure. It is the responsibility of everyone in a leadership position, all the way through the board of directors, to make sure investments are well thought out. Many day-to-day decisions can be corrected. Facility location, design, and specifications are permanent. They can cripple a site from day one and lead to an early demise. These mistakes are fiduciary crimes. Have you seen a poor design cripple a facility? Please take our quiz online this week. For safety this week, stick your nose in all process and layout changes. Managers may make poor design choices, but they should never be allowed to make poor safety choices. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Papa Ritalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA.